The Lord be with you. One can only imagine what the disciples were going through after the teacher was murdered right in front of them. Shell shock, grief, maybe even shame. For all of the disciples had ran away from Jesus when the Jewish leaders came in to arrest him. I possibly asked similar questions the disciples were asking when I was headed for a divorce many moons ago. How can someone who confesses that he loves me do such a thing? How did I ever treat him that way? What kind of love is this anyway? We both had left our families behind in another state and moved to Chico in our first year of marriage. We had some good times, but also some rough times. But we had made it through, or so I had thought. I asked the question, why? Why is God allowing this to happen? I don't believe in divorce, but here I am. I was full of shame. Maybe the disciples were remembering how each of them had been called by Jesus to follow him, how they had left their homes and gave their teacher 3 years of their lives. Maybe they discussed the table talk from the Last Supper they had together, part of today's gospel reading. Philip says, "Show us the Father." They all had the same question on their minds, but this time Philip was the speaker for the group. The disciples knew Jesus was unique. They had chosen to follow him, for Jesus was the one and only, the chosen one. They had seen his miracles, changing water into wine, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, walking on water, calming the sea, bringing the dead back to life. They had to have seen God in the life Jesus led here on earth. But they still did not seem to understand that if you know Jesus, you know God. He was also a great teacher. They remembered his parables, his teachings, love one's enemies, forgiving one another, seeing people beyond their outward appearance, and his love for his little children. I knew that Jesus had forgiven me, and I needed to forgive my previous husband too. It was tough. It did not come quickly. He had messed up. He'd lied to me. He had hidden things from me. He had made me feel foolish. I needed to shift my focus from what was being taken away from me and focus on the new season that was being given to me. I took great comfort in knowing that Jesus knew my sins and he knew my name. But here the disciples were scared and in hiding. Were they asking the same question I was? Why? Why? It's such a big question that only has three little letters, W-H-Y. It caused doubt and distress to enter my life. It's as if I needed an answer to this question. What I learned that the lesson I would get was not the answer I would expect, but rather came to the realization that I just don't understand God's plan for me. I had to accept my husband leaving, for what choice did I really have? Rather than doubt and distress, I needed to believe and trust with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, submit to him, and he will make my path straight. I trust things every day I don't understand. I trust the TV remote. It will turn on the TV when I push a button. Another button will change the channel. That's what I needed. I needed to know that I can trust even when I don't understand. It seems like it should be easy, but I didn't find it that way. I had challenges ahead of me on this new journey, but I needed to have the confidence that Jesus was beside me, walking with me, talking with me, holding my hand. He knows my sin. He knows my name. Did Jesus really lead the disciples, or did he just step away from them for a time only to return? Between Easter and the ascension into heaven, he appears to his disciples many times. With the power of the resurrection, Jesus appears to them and gives them peace. When Jesus appears a second time, a week later, this time with Thomas in the room, Thomas declares, "My Lord and my God." Did they finally get it? Did they see Jesus is the Father? Are they leaving their fears behind and growing in faithfulness? God leaves Jesus to not only watch his creation, but to be involved in it. This is why God's love for us was not complete with his resurrection. Jesus is concerned for his disciples and also for you and me. He surely wants all of us to know of his resurrection, but also keep us from losing our faith, living in fear, feeling discouraged or disappointed. He wants us to believe that he is the everlasting God And to answer that question, Philip asked. He wants us to know that Jesus is God and understand that we can rely on him. He knows our sin, and he calls our names. I found that to be true when I received a call from the school my son was attending, and they wanted a meeting with his parents. That evening, I was reading the Bible, and a passage came into focus that gave me such clarification as to the next steps to be taken in his education. I was confident with my decision. It brought such joy and peace. Later, when I went to tell my sister about it, I could not locate that passage. It made me wonder about what had just happened. Jesus was there for me. After seeing Jesus risen, the disciples shifted from denial to acceptance. They are now feeling safe to leave the upper room. And who do they meet? But Jesus on the shore. The disciples now feel they have hope and something they can rely on. Jesus' closeness, his longing and attachment to mankind is without a doubt communicated. Jesus' love and concern strengthens them to follow God securely and truly depend on him and have peace in their conviction. As one knows God more, one can trust God more. The power of the resurrection also gives the disciples confidence that Jesus is God and to live a life aligning with his will. All 11 disciples were gathered at the mountain when Jesus gave them the Great Commission. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I can only imagine when Jesus was taken from them a second time at the ascension into heaven, how they must have felt. They were left with their eyes looking up into the sky. When I leave loved ones behind, I keep an eye on them until they are out of my sight. I miss them before I get home and cannot wait to see them again. After 40 days with Jesus, the disciples had grown from fear to faithful. Jesus had given them the Great Commission, go and tell, but directed them to go back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait? What do you mean, wait? No one likes to hear those words. The microwave was invented for a reason. They were not told how long they needed to wait, just to wait. They didn't know what laid ahead of them, but they now had the Spirit. The disciples were now ready to rush out and tell the world what they now know. They were on fire. This time of waiting was productive. It gave the disciples time they needed to reflect on what they were saying yes to. It gave them time for spiritual growth, endurance, preparation for the assignment. They are now confident of who they are and what they are capable of. The time allowed growth they needed to propel them into the next level of their journey. They were now ready to surrender to the will of God. They left their fear behind and grew in their faithfulness. This adjustment time for me was spent in many conversations with Jesus at all times, day and night. I needed his love and his wisdom. I wrote in journals which helped guide me to where I was going and what I was learning. I was trying not to be anxious, but to leave my fears in his hands. I believe I grew stronger in many ways, able to stand up for myself with more confidence. God moved me out of my comfort zone. I grew in empathy for others going through rough times in their lives. It made me to be more aware of just how hard the hidden stories around me might be and to offer patience and kindness. The preparation of receiving the Holy Spirit had little to do with the disciples, everything to do with God's glory and advancing his kingdom. Jesus knew the disciples and knew when they were ready, with their hearts prepared, their lessons learned. Quiet time with God gave them time to meditate on Jesus' words, his life here on earth, and the confidence that Jesus is going to be walking with them on this journey ahead of them. They left their fear behind and grew to be faithful. After 10 days, their waiting was over. Abraham's children were all gathering in Jerusalem again for another festival, 50 days after the Passover. It's called the Feast of Weeks. This was the best attended of the great feasts because of the ideal travel conditions, for it was held in the spring. It celebrates God speaking through fire. They were remembering how God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush that was not consumed. remembering God leading them out of Egypt in the form of a fire at night and cloud during the day, God descending on Mount Sinai in fire and gave them the Ten Commandments to follow. The festival was celebrated for many years, but God's purpose that year was to fill believers with the Holy Spirit and be witnesses to Jesus' mission, teaching how to love and bless one another and spread this news to the whole world. In this story, the disciples were a major part. Jesus knew their sin, but he also knew their names. The Festival of Weeks came to be known as Pentecost. It came out of the sounds of a mighty wind, but not the effects of the wind. It was noticed. There was flames resting on each of them, not just Peter or the apostles. The Spirit is personal, and his presence is for all believers. That was unforgettable. They began to speak in languages, so everyone from various countries heard the good news in their own language. That was miraculous. These were all significant, but they all disappeared. The wind went away, the fire went out, the miracle of languages ended. But the main purpose was fulfilled. This is what Jesus had told the disciples to wait for, what was promised. I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. God the Holy Spirit filled the lives of the believers in Jesus. They all heard and understood the message of the gospel, proclaiming Jesus had died for their sins. Jesus is both God and man, who had lived a sinless life. He was resurrected from death, showing God's power. He gave salvation as a free gift. The heart of God for the world was preached by Peter on Pentecost, in which nearly 3,000 people repented of their sins and gave their lives to Jesus. All the believers that were gathered in Jerusalem for that Festival of Weeks went back to their various homes, and churches began to spring up all over the countries they were from. The church was born. All the wondering, all the wise, all the waiting was for this. The book of Acts tells us the early church turned the world upside down. The church was united and devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread together, and prayer. As the world heard their message and saw how they loved and took care of one another, the message of the gospel began to spread. It has continued to this day. You and I are a result of this first Pentecost. This mission will continue until all people hear this news and the Great Commission is accomplished. God's presence is all around us. There are reminders of his everlasting love for us in everything we see, hear, and feel. The food giveaway here held here at church, meals prepared for the less fortunate, and the meal train for those returning from the home from the hospital shows his love for our neighbor. The giving of time and energy to the small people of our family shows his love for the children. The cheerful giver who helps expand his ministry here at Faith Lutheran. God's love and concern is shown to one another all around us in this broken world. I saw God in my neighbors that looked after my son when I had to work. I saw God in the second dads my son had when one was needed. I see and thank God for my son. I see and thank God for my husband leaving me. I'm still fighting with trust issues, but I know God is with me, even when the reminders of my past come back into focus. I may not understand, but I have the confidence that he is here with me. He knows my sin, and he knows my name. And I know then, and I know now, that Jesus is a promise keeper. Jesus loves me, this I know. He forgives me all my sins, even those I may not even realize. Jesus knows me better than anyone else. He walks with me all my days. All things work together for those who love him. He took me by my hand from fear to faithful. I have since learned to change my whys to I don't understand, accepting that Jesus has a plan and purpose for my life. I have great comfort knowing that I can trust him. With lots of conversation, reading and hearing his word, reflection, and keeping my eyes and heart open to his blessings, I can enjoy his peace. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. This peace is a spirit reminding me of Jesus' words, calming my troubled heart, anchoring me in God's love when the world around me shakes. He was walking with me during this time, holding my hand, giving me strength, helping me to be the best broken mom I could be, He knows your sin. He knows your name. Can we all be people of the Pentecost, working on overcoming our fear, whatever they may be? Be filled with the Spirit, be faithful witnesses, and be filled with God's peace. Amen.